Welcome to Insta Poetic Justice, the first podcast of its kind discussing the ever-evolving terrain of poetry and technology and how these two have merged together to create the subgenre that is Insta Poetry. Here I will interview poets about poets as we weigh in on the positives and negatives of this new literary phenomenon. I'm your host, Amy Sophia Mayer. You can check out my poetry books at www.paganpoetess.com. Supporting me via my published works is the best way to ensure all these podcasts remain free and accessible to everyone. And now, on with the show. Welcome back, poetry lovers. This is the third episode of Insta Poetic Justice. I'm your host, Amy Sophia Mayer, and today I am joined by the poet Emmy Erickson. Hi, Emmy.
Hi.
Some of you may know Emmy on Instagram, aka City Lights and Sunbeams. As always, with each guest speaker, her info will be in the description box. And as mentioned in the first episode, we will start off with an interview of Emmy, then go on to discuss our designated Insta poet of the episode, this time being Caroline Kaufman. So, are you ready, Emmy?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. So, first I would like to ask, where are you from?
I'm from the south of Sweden. So quite far away.
Oh, really? And do you write poems in Swedish as well?
Yes, I do, but I don't publish them. I just have them for my personal collection.
Okay, wonderful. And are you a full-time writer or what else do you do, you know, in your life?
No, I'm not a full-time writer. I study medicine to become a doctor at the moment, so... Oh. I'm at my third year of university.
Oh, wonderful. And I remember when I was a child, I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. That dream did not go very far. So is there any particular specialty in medicine you're focusing on at this point?
No, I study medicine in general. You have to complete the whole education first before choosing an area. But I'm quite interested in the human brain, so maybe neurology or psychiatry or something like that.
I'm a linguistics nerd, and neurolinguistics is fascinating, just how we process language in the brain.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm just curious, why did you choose City Lights and Sunbeams as your Instagram username?
That's a really good question, actually. One of my first poems is quite short, and it contains those words. It's, and he was city lights, she was sunbeams. And I like the contrast of it, the way the city is lit up at night in quite an artificial way. And like how the sun illuminates the world during the day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I like the contrast of it.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't even think that deeply about it when I was reading it. I was just like, oh, both lights. But then city lights, artificial, and sunbeams, you know, nature, technology versus nature. I like it.
Yeah.
So how do your poems develop? Please guide us through the stages of a poem. Like, what's your process?
Oh, it's funny that you ask, because I always refer to it as a multiple stage process. Usually, like, I've been writing all my life in different forms. So usually something in my life or something I hear or a person will trigger something in me. And I just feel an urge to write. Like it can be during a lecture or during a conversation with a friend or just tasting a cup of tea. And I just feel like I have to get it down. So I have a notebook in my phone where I just jot it down, like this vague feeling, sensation. And it's called In Progress, this notebook in the phone. Because usually the poem that occurs to me isn't quite complete. Mm-hmm. Like it's half made. And then they can lie in this notebook for a few months. Until one day I can feel the ending of it. And so I finish it and then I move it to another carpet in my phone that's named To Write. And then one day when I feel like it, I make some tea and I sit down at my typewriter and I type out every poem I have in this carpet of To Write. And then I just leave them in an envelope that is to photograph. And then sometimes I go out for walks, like picking up flowers, and I'll just photograph these poems, like completing the circle before I publish them.
Wonderful. Yeah, your process is much more refined than mine. Sometimes if I get a inclination for a poem, like I will just go into like a draft of Google email and I'll just like hide it in a draft. And then again, it's just a big jumbled mess.
But whatever works, works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on a typical day, how much time do you spend writing?
Oh, it varies quite a lot. I have these phases where I write like 10 to 15 poems a day, and then I can go months without writing. Oftentimes I write more when I'm feeling sad. So it varies quite a lot. But I would say if you even it out, maybe like just half an hour a day, maybe.
Yeah, right. I kind of have a similar habit where it comes in seasons where I will write like a maniac for a first few months, and then another few months I just will have no inspiration and I won't touch any of my poetry.
Yeah, it's really interesting how it works.
Yeah. And just out of curiosity, has COVID-19 in Sweden impacted your daily life and thus impacted your writing?
It has to some extent, but I believe Sweden has tackled the situation differently than other countries. So I've still been able to continue my studies, and I've still been able to meet my friends and family, although not as much as before. But I still believe that we've been lucky. So I wouldn't say that many of my poems touch upon that subject.
Alrighty then. So, you know, as I may have mentioned before, I found you through one of my favorite anthologies of poetry called InstaPoet, where I believe it was a contest where you could enter and 44 poets were chosen to be featured in that anthology.
Yes, that's correct.
So I'm just curious, what was your favorite part and your least favorite part of the publishing journey with the InstaPoet anthology?
It's actually quite funny because I never actually entered in the competition.
Really?
But they found my work. So I got contacted one day by the publishers asking if I wanted to be a part of it. So I just feel like I haven't really worked that hard to get my work out. I've always gotten in other aspects of my life, I always felt like I have to work really hard to get anywhere. But when it comes to poetry, it has always been something that I do it because I genuinely love it. And it has been like all of my dreams have been served upon silver plates for me. Like first I got contacted by Augie's bookshelf to have my work published. And then you contacted me to be here as a guest speaker, and like seeing my words in print and now being on a podcast. Those are things I've only dreamed about. And yeah, so it just feels quite surreal, to be honest. I don't think I have a least favorite part. I just love all of it.
Wonderful. So what would you say is your most interesting writing quirk?
I don't really understand the question. I'm sorry.
No, what would you say is your most interesting like aspect of yourself as a writer that maybe not every writer has or does?
That's a really good question.
It's a pretty abstract question. Just take your time.
Yeah, I've never really stopped to think of it that way. I guess I've never defined myself as a writer. It's just always been an urge, like something I have to do. Like writing is a way of processing and dealing with myself, like some sort of self-care.
Okay, we can move on to the next question. So how do you balance making demands on the reader while taking care of the reader? Like in a way, how do you balance, you know, getting the writers to think a little bit, but also, you know, just giving them pretty words to make them feel good? Like, where are you on the spectrum? How do you balance that out?
I think I just want to convey a feeling that triggers something in the reader. And whatever that might be, I think is exactly what the reader needs it to be. Like, you don't necessarily have to interpret my poems the way I felt like when I wrote them. I want them to be a way to get more in touch with their own feelings and thoughts, if that makes sense.
Oh, wonderful. So you're much more death of the author mentality.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, interesting. So we touched upon this briefly of how you said things with poetry, like being approached for the anthology and then being approached by this poetry podcast. So what's the best way to market your poems?
Oh, I don't know really. I've never actively tried to pursue a big audience. I love the idea of being able to touch people, to make people feel with my words. It's an amazing feeling, and to reach out, but it has never been my major goal with my writing. I started my account just to have it as a collection of my work so that I would have a place to save it. And I never really imagined it would lead to where it is now.
Wonderful. So here's just a general reading question. What is the first book that made you cry?
Wow. I honestly think it must have been a child's book, like a children's book, because I've always read quite a lot, and my mom used to read for me when I was little. Words and reading and writing has always been a big part of my life. I was quite ill when I was little, so my grandma and my mom would take turns at my bed reading stories and telling stories for me, and I was always really moved by these stories as well. So I think one of those those like children's books must have been the first, but I can't tell you a title.
Okay, that's alrighty then. And I'm just curious, because you're probably an avid reader and, of course, an avid writer and poet, would you say, I ask because I am a hardcore linguistics nerd, my bachelor's degree was in linguistics, so do you find that your reading and writing process is different when you do it in English versus whether you do it in Swedish?
Yeah, I would say. I think I'm better writer in Swedish in some ways. I have a broader variety of words to choose from, and I'm better with rhymes and stuff like that in Swedish. But also I can feel that it's quite liberating to not do it. So because when I write in Swedish, it's easier for it to become more detached, like less personal and more formal, because I know how to write like properly. But in English, it's sometimes easier to convey like the feeling, because I can't choose from such a broad variety of vocabulary. So I have to find the essence of it, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. I have felt something similar, because actually my very recent foray into writing poetry in English is actually not the norm for me, like in the past, because while English is my native language, a lot of my poetry as a teenager, younger adult, would stay within the realm of the foreign languages I know, such as Arabic and French and Turkish. And so, and for me, it was more personal, because I had to work harder to create those poems. Whereas with English, I felt like because it was my native language, I wasn't trying that hard.
So
I can totally understand that. Again, different sentiments and different ideas, you know, come up as you do the process in different languages.
Yeah.
So another reading question. Which book have you read the most in your lifetime?
Apart from, I'm a big fantasy fan, so apart from like Harry Potter.
I'm a Potterhead too, and I will be starting a Harry Potter podcast in 2021, so stay tuned.
Wow, I'm looking forward to it already. Harry Potter would certainly be like one of my most most read books, but I also love the work of Jane Austen.
I'm currently doing a Jane Austen podcast with my sisters.
Wow, I'm getting ready for a lot of things now.
Yes. Alrighty then. So that's all the questions I had. Would you like to... Well, first, I think I want to read off one of your poems from the Instapoet anthology that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Some days I just wish I could give it a name, this darkness inhabiting my veins, so that people wouldn't stare or turn away when the spiral closes in and I no longer know what to do or say. Some days I just wish there could be a label. She's damaged, but that is okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that was my favorite of your particular works in Instapoet, the anthology. But would you like to recite one of your poems for us?
Yes. That one is actually one of my favorites too. So it was one I would have picked out for myself. It's funny because it's one of those poems that everybody, I've asked a lot of friends before doing this podcast, what poems they like the most. And that one is, everybody can agree on that one. So it's funny that you chose that one.
Yeah, great minds think alike.
Yeah. Okay. So I picked another one here. And you ask me where I find my words. And I think of sunsets and dewdrops, of butterflies and electric wire. I think of hope and devastation, of shots of whiskey by a grave and not wanting to be brave for yet another day. And I think of you and you and you. Yeah,
ooh,
so that's another
one.
I
really like that. I like this theme that you're maintaining in your poetry of the contrast between nature and man, nature and technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dewdrops of butterflies and then with the electric wires. I really enjoyed that imagery. I'm especially fond of that because I am a pagan. So, and one of my debut poetry collection, The Ghost in the Locket, a big theme was like starting off with really a lot of technological imagery and then shifting slowly into more like natural imagery.
Yeah, I love that.
Would you like to read us one more, please?
Yes. So this one is a bit different in style. But it's a style that I and many other Instapoets with me use a lot, and it's speaking in metaphors. So here it goes. Me loving you was like water slipping into highway cracks in early spring. And this is cold night ice shattering from within.
Nice. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, again, with the like water slipping into highway cracks, I just love that imagery.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I have quite a lot of poems like working with metaphors.
Great. So now we are done with that section. Thank you so much for indulging me in my many questions, which may appear a bit random.
Oh, I really like your questions. You have a good way of capturing the essence.
Okay. So now we will move on to discussing the poet that we decided for this episode, which was Caroline Kaufman. And yeah, I honestly didn't know that much about her. But here I pulled up a little brief paragraph about her from her website. And she's actually quite young. So let's see. Caroline Kaufman, known as Poetic Poison on Instagram, was only a freshman in high school when she began posting her poetry online, and since then she has amassed hundreds of thousands of followers across social media reading her work worldwide. Her debut book, Light Filters In, was published last year, and she was later named one of her campus's under 22 most inspiring college women in 2018 for her work destigmatizing mental illness through poetry. Caroline grew up in Westchester, New York, and is currently studying English at Harvard University. Oh, she's at Harvard. I didn't know that. When she's not writing, she can be found eating pad thai, harmonizing with the radio, and refusing to believe she's growing up. So yeah, that's definitely one theme I like, is when Instapoets, you know, use their platforms to destigmatize mental illness, because I think that's a huge, you know, issue that I'm very passionate about, because I don't feel like, especially in the United States, that we pay enough attention to it. And if we did, I feel like a lot of society's issues would solve themselves if we could tackle mental health.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that one. That is the one reason I chose this account as well. I really like her theme.
Wonderful. So basically we'll now go back and forth between reading each other poems of hers that we've selected. Let me just pull up my Instagram. I saved them in an Insta collection. Okay, I shall read one first. Yeah, and I just pulled these, the ones that tickled my fancy from her Instagram page.
Yeah.
This is chalkboard love. You're on my skin, powdered out in sketched skeletons. Find me blank once more. Fill in the empty spaces time and time again. Hide the eraser. Let's lose ourselves in our hands, residue and all.
Wow.
Yes. So how does that one make you feel, or what do you think about?
Makes me feel a bit sad. Like everything's like made up.
Or everything is superficial.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, but I really, again, because I tend to veer towards, you know, much more like natural poetry or poetry that deals with the moon and flowers and all of that jazz. So I really like it when a poet is able to use more modern imagery, but in such a poetic way that it's able to capture my attention and I can still see it as just as beautiful as like natural imagery.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think many of the Insta poets do that. It's kind of typical for the new style, isn't it? That it brings like everyday life into poetry.
Of course. All right, then would you like to share one of the ones you picked?
Yes. We live in a society of liars where every other person is a clone. Everyone wants to be somebody else. We see beauty in each body but our own. We live in a shallow ocean of hypocrites. No depth past the skin on each face. Everyone's perfect, but no one is perfect. Isn't this such a great place?
Nice. So, yeah. Yes, that definitely touches into, you know, how as humans we are never satisfied with what we have or who we are, and we're always constantly comparing ourselves.
Exactly. And I think it has become an even greater issue now with all the social media. Exactly. Everybody shows a perfect picture of perfect life, and you only get to see the best of the best, and you compare yourself to the top in each single category. Like you follow the Master Chef, and then you follow the supermodel, and then you follow the world's fastest runner, and you can never get to the top in anything if you compare yourself to the best in each category. And you fail to see the whole picture. And yes, also I find it quite like paradoxical that the same platform that is I think contributes to the mental illness and like never feeling quite enough might also be used to convey this sense of not being alone with these thoughts. Like in this case, like it can be both a blessing and a curse, right?
Right. Yeah. And certainly, yeah, you're absolutely right. Social media makes it 100 times worse, but I think it is a pretty ancient, you know, part of our evolutionary makeup where we're constantly comparing ourselves to make sure that where do we stand in the social hierarchy of the group? Because that would traditionally mean, you know, how much will we have the best access to the best resources? And so I feel like social media is feeding on that primal notion of comparison and rivalry.
I completely agree with you. The problem is that now it has opened up the possibility to compare yourself to the whole world and not just your tribe that might want
something. Yeah, like it's not even one very specific category. It's the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, although one thing I'm kind of proud of myself with social media is I understand, you know, I'll be like, oh, I'm so jealous of, you know, this or that. But, after like a few seconds or a few minutes, I can see, you know, this is the best of the best. You know, that is the best 10% of that specific person's life. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other crap they're dealing with that I have no idea about and I probably don't want to know about.
No, that's a fantastical insight. I just wish that more people would things like that.
Yeah, it's and it's just funny because if people actually do show their like a more vulnerable side or a more sadder side on social media, then a lot of people will be quick to condemn that as being like whiny or attention seeking. So it's like we're angry that people show the best and makes ourselves feel bad. But if someone dares to show a less than ideal side, you know, we immediately lambast with criticism.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
Alrighty then, so here, let me read off another poem. I love this one because of the water imagery. You are a surging thing. You are all current and rapids, and I would jump back in no matter how many times you spit me out, worn down and breathless. You are always spitting me out, worn down and breathless. But the truth is, I would jump back in no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, this makes me think of like addiction, where you know it's bad for you, but still you can't stop.
Exactly. It's tragic the way, yeah, you keep coming back for more, even though you know it will destroy you in the end.
Which seems counterintuitive, but studies show time and time again that even though something is painful to us, if it's a familiar painful, we will take the familiar painful over what is brand new and uncomfortably new or uncomfortably good.
Yeah.
Would you like to share your next poem?
Yes. Most days, my depression is just a piece of me. Other days, I'm just a piece of my depression. It is one of those days.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually chose this one more to like point that the style of the poem that is quite typical for many Insta poems. I believe that it's very straightforward. It conveys a lot of emotion with very simple lines. So I really like the style of it.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely, of course, depression is something that people can relate on a huge level. It's such an undiagnosed illness that a lot of people suffer from. And, you know, though depression may manifest itself in different ways at different levels with people, certainly that sentiment can be felt by many.
Yeah. Also, I think that is one issue that many people feel ashamed of their depression. It's not like having a physical illness, like a broken leg or something, that it's less abstract, right?
Yep,
people can understand it and empathize with it in a way that we don't really do with depression. And I think it's important to speak more about those issues so they can become more accepted, since they are, as you say, really common.
Here's one I chose. I pour my feelings for her into cake batter, stir for 30 seconds, slide it on into the oven, and let it rise. When it comes out, it smells like sugar and spice and everything nice that I want but cannot have. So I stuff it down, I swallow the memories whole, and hope they don't find their way back up again. My stomach is starting to hurt, but maybe that's just the ache in my gut from all this longing. I've never been able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one, again, falls into that category of I like when poets can take really simple imagery but give it so much more depth and meaning, so I don't need the pretty moon or the pretty flowers.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I actually heard someone use an old saying, like an old cowboy saying, to describe poetry, that it was like putting 10 kilos weight into a 6 kilos bag. It was like a long time ago they used that saying for when people were stupid, that they didn't understand that it wouldn't fit. But this woman used it to describe poetry, that you can give so much more meaning to a few sets of words than is actually like possibly that is actually possible, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about this poem was it smells like sugar and spice and everything nice. I just, you know, I'm okay with people using concepts that are cliches because, you know, I think there are only so many original ideas and concepts to the human condition. But I don't like it when people fall back onto those very common idioms.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was that's my only nitpick about this poem. But yeah, definitely shows the imagery of, you know, just the notion, you know, we think of addiction like, you know, drugs or alcohol or even gambling. But, you know, certainly food can be an addiction in a way that we just, you know, want to stuff ourselves to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah, or love or toxic people or anything, really. I mean, addiction can manifest in various ways.
Because I'm not beneath after I've had a hard day at work that I just stuff my face with some cake or whatever dessert I have.
Yeah.
Alrighty, would you like to share your last poem, please?
Yes, it's quite similar with everyday style put into poetry. So it goes like this. Error, error, overload. Storage space is packed. There are jams inside my brain, and it cannot stay intact. Overthinking, seizing up. My hard drive has a bug. Too much the doctors cannot fix. It's time to pull the plug.
Nice mechanical with human biology and anatomy. Definitely know why you picked it, you know, wanting to be a doctor.
Yeah, but also I like the image it conveys. You can really feel it. This overheated computer that just won't function anymore.
It makes me think of that whole debate of, you know, AI, artificial intelligence, and, you know, so often our minds, you know, get compared to computers, but our mind and neurology is such an intricate thing and subject that it cannot be categorized in the same manner that a computer program can. There's just, it's part of those things in the universe where you probably won't understand for at least many more centuries, if ever.
Yeah, that is true. And also, like, the emotions behind it, because human emotions can never be understood or explained in a way that, like, machines can.
Alrighty then, so I have one last poem and then we'll move on to the criticism, but this one is really short. There is nothing more powerful than a girl with a pen who is brave enough to use it. It's so simple, but it speaks so well to me because actually even though I'm pagan now, I was raised as a Lutheran. So for me, one of my favorite quotes is from Martin Luther, who says, if you want to change the world, pick up a pen and write.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really powerful.
So yeah, just the idea, of course, the pen is mightier than the sword. Like I'm a complete sucker for all of those like cliches and sentiments.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Actually, one of my first like slogans when I started writing and publishing, I had a website before, like a blog. It was named Teardrops of Rain. And the subtitle was, words are your strongest weapon. They can either hurt or heal. So it kind of comes back to that.
Of course. Alrighty then. So that is it for our poetry recitations. I feel like we got a lot of good analysis out of it. And so now we'll move on to our sort of, you know, commentary on a certain criticism. And I was able to pull up a 2-star review from Amazon on one of Caroline Kaufman's books. I think it was her first book, Light Filters In.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of ironic because, you know, a lot of times people will just be mean and do these really long 1-star reviews. But actually, there was not one 1-star review for her books. Like the lowest one was 2 stars. And I'm like, oh, that's different compared to the other poets I've reviewed. So here's what she, I have no idea it's a boy, girl or guy, but here's what they said. I was expecting so much more light and positivity from this book, especially after reading so many good reviews, but unfortunately this book did not cut it for me. No, I'm not an expert by any means. However, being an aspiring writer-poet, someone who struggles with anxiety myself, I was expecting this book to have a lot more substance and versatility within her words, within her language that sadly wasn't quite there. I wanted so much more. I don't know. Maybe my standards are just too high and maybe I'm being a little too harsh, but I would not consider this poetry, especially after reading about the author and her story. I was expecting her poems to be a lot more in-depth than how they appeared on the page. I was expecting there to be a lot more contrast between dark and light in terms of the title, but in my personal opinion, her language was just too dark, sad, and there didn't seem to be much of rise or a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. So what, like, compared to the poems you've read of Caroline Hoffman, do you agree or disagree with this reviewer's sentiment, and why or why not?
I can agree on the part where the reviewer says that her poetry is quite dark, but I also have a hard time finding that to be a reason to condemn the poetry itself, because that's not a criticism of her style more than of the subjects that she writes about. And personally, I always feel like more touched by the dark poetry than just flowers and sunshine. And I think it's brave to write about those kind of subjects. I don't know. I just feel like I can agree with it being dark, but I don't see the problem with that.
Yeah, to me, it's not so much. She has a whole other paragraph that she wrote about the poetry itself, but at least in this first paragraph, it's not so much she's criticizing the poetry itself, but again, both the nature of it and the fact, and I guess the way it was organized in that particular poetry collection, because she was expecting a sort of like redemption arc within the poetry anthology, and that just didn't happen for her. And so she judged it quite harshly, which makes me think about my own poetry collection that I'm writing, because I'm at this point, you know, I've been heavily influenced by COVID-19 and by the racial inequalities in the United States and the protests surrounding those. So my current poetry collection that I'm writing has taken a much darker tone, and I don't think it's going to have a redemptive arc. But at the same time, this poetry collection is part of a wider 5-part series, so the redemption will come in the other collections. So I'm so now I'm worried, like, are people going to ding me because I didn't put enough happy poems? But it's like, no, I need to write it the way I want. And if they want happy, they can read the other collections.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is that they are honest, like that the poetry conveys what you really feel, because you can't write happy poems if you're not happy. Like they're not going to resonate the same way.
Mm-hmm. All right, then what is the next paragraph? To me, this book was more like a very generic fall. She uses very few words of inspiration on just how she rose above her mental illness and came out a stronger person on the other side because of it. No, I'm not saying all her poems were poorly written. Some of them were good, some of them were just okay, and some were left up in the air, leaving me very dissatisfied. Yes, I do appreciate the attempt. I do appreciate many different forms of poetry, but I personally don't prefer, nor do I like, a lot of newer, rather popular poetry, popular in quotations, out in the world today, because a lot of the language and the words seems to be the same or very similar to other newer poets, talking about the men and the women who broke them. So, yeah, what do we think about that? She's true in the sense that that is what a lot of newer poets write about, but I think, again, I'm not one to say that just because people have written a lot about it doesn't mean that it's no longer relevant and this resonates, because this happens to everybody and that's why everyone can relate to it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And also I think it's just because, as you said, just because other writers touch upon these subjects don't make her contribution any less valuable. And there are always going to be subjects that are like frequently occurring in each time, like before, like long time ago, everybody wrote about wars. Like every ancient story touched upon wars or gods, and now it's heartbreak and inequality and abuse that has risen on Instagram, in Instagram poetry. And I think it's just because there are reoccurring themes doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think it's just very hard. It's, you know, writing is so subjective, and you know, when people criticize Insta poetry for just being simple, like in some ways for certain poets I can agree, like, yeah, that was really simple, that didn't do anything for me. But then there are some who, by an objective standpoint, their language they use was simple, but still it resonates with me. It's like I just read I just read this book that it was probably, in my opinion, the worstly written book in Pure's in terms of writing style. But that's not to say that I hate all books that are written simply. I just read another commercial fiction book last month that was written that I would say by objective standards was written simply. But at the same time, that simplicity didn't bother me or it wasn't as jarring as it was with this most recent book I read. So it's just really hard because people do elaborate differently and people do simple differently. And you can't just say I hate all simplistic writing because it's like, you know, people put their own spin on things and sometimes it works for some audience and some not so with others.
Yeah, that is so true. And also sometimes simplicity can contain a deeper message as well. Like you can,
of course,
you can convey a very strong feeling or trigger deep thoughts with simple words. And there's a beauty to that as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Do you have anything more to say about this particular criticism?
I think it's hard to just write off, like many criticisms, write off Insta poets as a whole for being simple. And I think it's quite unfair because there are so many writers out there and there are so many different styles. And I think the problem is that many people compare Insta poets, like the poetry on Instagram, to like classic poetry. And maybe you have to see this form as something new, like another form of art. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad or that it's better. It's just different.
Indeed. Yeah, I take very snobbish pride in my sense of moderation because I will have Edgar Allan Poe and Lord Byron right next to all my my modern collections of Insta poetry. So I think one thing is just Insta poetry's relationship with technology, because I think there is this sort of stigma amongst the writing literary community that we romanticize, the classic old books and writing on a typewriter and all of those things. And so when anything is used with more modern technology like Instagram, we feel that its literary merit is automatically diminished. And as a linguistics nerd, I think we should not be dismissing how technology impacts language overall and more specifically poetry.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It has also opened up like poetry for a wider audience, I think. And it has enabled writers that might not have been able to get their work published to reach out to a broader public as well. And I think this is something we have to embrace. And I think it's a really good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. And there's a really brilliant documentary on Insta poetry that Ariel Bissett did on YouTube. It's called #poetry. And she touches upon that, the notion of Instagram creating a platform for poets of color or, you know, of the LGBTQ+ community, those that are not cisgender white male, and that is our image of the traditional poet.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, the publishing industry, you know, is difficult enough for people who are, you know, white, let alone, you know, people who represent different minorities or marginalized groups, you know, trying to get their voice heard.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. Well, thank you so much for analyzing that criticism with me. And now we're going to move on to hopefully a happier note. This is our last exercise of the day called #poetry. So do you have your phone handy right now?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So what you are going to do is you are going to go to Instagram and look up the Insta poetry tag.
Yes.
And you don't look at the top ones, but go to the most recent ones.
Yeah.
And again, we're just going to pick them at random and like read a couple. So let me find one. So the only problem with this exercise is I love doing it, but so many of the poems are not written in English and therefore I cannot read them.
Yeah, I kind of noticed as well.
Yeah, so here, this one I just picked at random. It's called from account From Willow to Ash. Ooh, I love that type. I love that Instagram handle. So here's the poem. Who am I to you? Am I your Serrano? No, dear one, you're much more than that. You are life's musical note. You are Bach's Allemande, Astor's In Longa dell'Angel. You are white cloth napkins, creamed omelets, and basil. You are rich leathered skin, long walks in Paris, soft boiled eggs in antique cups, 4 minutes/20 seconds. You're in another strumming, letting me heal while I wept. You are claw-footed warm baths, watching my dog while I slept. You were writing me tangos no one ever could play, admitting they were like me, complex in every way. You heal soul at Eglises and profess I chime divinity, honoring cracked sepial stairs, moving mountains with your melodies. You are my very sacred friend without expectation. I miss you always, dear one, until I arrive at Gare du Nord station. So certainly this poem has a little French influence because it's, and it uses the word sepial stairs. The only way I know that word is because I just did a podcast recently on Edgar Allan Poe, and he uses that word a lot.
Well, we can't accuse this one of having simple language, can we?
No, we cannot, exactly. So, yeah, this is so, I like it, but it's so just interesting the way she uses, again, she goes from really old archaic language to like your an omelet, you know, with basil in it and cream. And so, like, it's so, in a way, disconcerting, but in a good way, the use of old and new imagery.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. It continues to surprise you all the way through. You can't really make sense of it in your own head. I like it.
Yes, I'm looking. Yeah, I'm looking at the account from Willows to Ash. Only 34 followers. I'm going to be number 35.
Maybe I'll join you at 36 then.
Okay. So yeah, did you find a poem that you liked?
Yeah, I just scrolled down to the next one in English. I haven't read it all yet, but I will read it aloud.
Okay.
It's from Stargazing Rack. My eyes are heavy, too little sleep and too much awe, hurting my neck to strain at the sky. Sometimes I feel like a storm. When I was younger, I thought they were mine, rumbling electric sorrow, streaming across the stars. But now I see. They are a beautiful release, too much friction, the air arguing with itself about what the weather should be today. I know how that feels.
So what are your thoughts on that?
I should just process it for myself for 2 seconds. I read it the first time that I read it aloud. I like this one as well. It's like using the metaphors, like using the weather and the storms and this like release of energy. Mm-hmm. And then putting it, like it conveys an image at first. And then with the last line, it kind of applies it to the human being. And I like that twist, that you've painted yourself a picture, and it seems like a very simple picture at first, because you look at the nature, you see the storm, and then with the last line, it all changes because you realize that the author is not just talking about the storm, but they're talking about human emotions and their own feelings, and it kind of changes the whole sense of what you just read. And I like that.
No, you're absolutely right. It's funny. I'm always go for poems that have water imagery of water being like emotions because they ebb and flow. But then, this is using water in another way, via like a storm or a tempest, and you know, also just as aquatic as a metaphor as like the ocean or sea, but just in a different way.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a very quick one. Okay. We think that our soul craves love, joy, and abundance. We forget that all it wants is peace. It's short, but it makes me think, because is peace not love, joy, and abundance? Do we not get peace through those things? It's suggesting that maybe the chase of love, joy, and abundance, you know, creates chaos when we really should want peace. I don't know.
No, it's interesting. I really agree with you on that one, that it's interesting that they, like the poet puts these things in contrast to each other, instead of seeing them as compatible feelings.
I think what I interpret from it, that we're trying to suggest that the pursuit, the unhealthy or excessive pursuit of these things can create an unhealthy situation, not those things themselves.
Yeah.
All right, then. Would you like to read one more?
Yes, I shall scroll down to the next in English. We begin not by wanting to exist, but by chance. A complex dance of nature, nurtured. Take your talk of fate and seek to make more of your turn. Learn what makes you tick, because you don't have to stick with what is presented. Pretending it's your thing when it's not. You've got the power, and it's within you. So begin. Win your own definition of success, and don't settle for less, as giving up only means you ensure that it will never happen. Break the pattern. If chance brought you here, you have nothing to fear by beginning. So take a chance, and never stop swimming by wanting not just to exist. We begin.
Interesting. I just found it. It's the user is Infinity Education.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I don't know. This one did not stir my soul as much. Sorry, Infinity Education. Again, it's that same thing that I was talking about, that simple can manifest itself in totally different ways. And some ways simple, you know, resonates with me, and sometimes it just doesn't. And I like the notion of, you know, again, your definition of success, you know, not giving up and all those things. But with such a generic concept, I would want a little more creativity.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with you on that one, that it kind of combines lines that you've all heard them before. So you wait for something new to arise or something different, but you don't really get surprised. The only line that stands out to me is the last one. By wanting not just to exist, we begin. I like that one.
Yes, this is true, because it's not just going through the motions, you know, really taking charge of one's destiny.
Yeah, exactly. And like I like the contrast between like existing and living, that there is a difference.
Between surviving and thriving.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
And so I like the last sentence, but otherwise I agree with you that it's, yeah, it touches on subjects that, yeah, you don't really get surprised by it.
Yeah. And one thing I would say is, you know, people criticize Insta-poetry for being really short, but in actuality, I will judge poems more harshly if they're longer and have, you know, again, nothing spectacular about them. Whereas again, that the previous poem was so short, but it made me think.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with you. I think the beauty of poems is like not saying what you feel, but making feel without actually saying it.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty then. Well, that wraps up our hashtag poetry exercise. And that is the end of our third episode of Insta Poetic Justice. Thank you so much, Emmy, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, and make sure to check us out. The Insta Poetic Justice podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and also on my website at www.paganpoetess.com. Tune in next time as we tackle another Insta Poetry giant with another poet. Bye!